Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the gear. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that Peter told. After the story has never been told, so now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your rights. Come on,
get up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unhurt. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah,
get up, stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up for your rights.
Greetings, everyone. This is your host, Tamara LaDonna Williams, Artistic Director of Moving Spirits Incorporated and creator of this show, Moving Spirits of Color. Today is February 13th. We have a shorter broadcast planned for today, but hopefully still quite informative and exciting for you. Before we get to speak to today's guests, we want to share some recent news from the situations of systematic oppression, police brutality, and some updates. On February 10th, a Brooklyn grand jury decided that New York City police officer Peter Liang will face charges for the November 2014 fatal shooting of Akai Gurley. This information is a great step in the direction towards justice for Akai Gurley, and we hope that this police officer, Peter Liang is convicted of the crime of killing Akai Gurley. If you would like additional information about Akai Gurley and how to support his family, protest events, and additional resources, please follow Justice for Akai Gurley on Facebook for updates and additional information. The mission of this broadcast is to provide a platform bringing awareness and action to concerns for artists of color. We are an active collective. Our aim is action and activism in the work that we are providing through this media forum. We ask that our listeners engage actively with listening, questioning, and creative thought, critical thought, to all ideas shared on this platform. Please feel free to provide your thoughts, concerns, and feedback in our Facebook group, Moving Spirits of Color. So today, we have a special guest, Kathleen Gilrain, and she is the Executive Director and Chief Curator of the Smack Melon Gallery. She oversees all aspects of the program, planning, and organizational development. Since joining the organization in 2000, she has presented the work of over 800 artists in 58 solo exhibitions and 33 group exhibitions and special projects. Ms. Gilrain launched the Artist Studio program soon after her arrival at the organization in 2000. The program provides rent-free studio space, a $5,000 fellowship and professional development opportunities for 6 artists each year. The Artist Studio program has supported 94 artists since its inception. Kathleen Gilrain was the executive director of Socrates Sculpture Park from 1995 to 2000, where she presented exhibitions of large-scale projects by emerging mid-career and renowned artists. Ms. Gilrain is an artist and has exhibited internationally. Her work has been exhibited internationally. She received a BFA from the Cooper Union in New York City and an MFA from the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. Greetings, Kathleen. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes. So is there any additional information you would like to add to our listening audience about your career or about your work in the social justice movement?
No, nothing. Nothing more than what you talked about in my bio.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, could you give us information, more additional information about the Smack Melon Gallery and how the Respond series was developed?
Sure. Our gallery. Our gallery is in Dumbo, Brooklyn, and we have a very mm-hmm. large space. It's a 5,000 square foot gallery space. And when we heard about the grand jury's decision not to indict Daniel Pantaleo, we were, concerned, like thousands and thousands of other people across our city. And
yes.
we decided that we would open up our gallery space as a space, a platform for artists, activists, community organizers to respond to the exhibition, to the non-indictment with artwork. They could submit a work of art. They could submit a proposal for an event, or have a community mm-hmm. gathering, a meeting, a panel discussion. So it was really a large open call. And okay. we, meaning the three other people on staff, Suzanne Kim, who is our deputy director and director of exhibitions, and Aaron Donnelly, who's our programs manager, and I, we all invited our current group of studio artists to help us organize this exhibition and event, because it was really beyond mm-hmm. what we could do as a very small staff here. So we invited
okay.
our current studio artists, who are Esteban DeValle, Molly Dilworth, Eloisa DuVernay, Ira Edwardonova, Stephanie Jameson, and Dred Scott, to work with us. Those are all artists who are currently working in our studios.
Okay.
We put out an open call. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, continue.
Okay. We put out an open call, and we tried to get the word out through sending this open call opportunity to not only other arts organizations, which are, more normally our audience, are people, artists, and other people interested in visual arts, but we tried to really reach beyond our regular audience, and we did that by reaching out to a lot of different organizations, community organizations, and not necessarily art organizations. And through those efforts and the efforts of the other artists who were working with us, we did manage to throw a really wide net with this open call, and we received 600 submissions. Of course, we do not have a large enough space to show 600 works of art, but we worked with the artists in our program to narrow that down to 201 actually works of art, and a lot of events, which is in addition to the 600 art submissions. We have a lot of events happening throughout the exhibition. There are two more weeks left of the exhibition. It closes on February 22nd, and we've got lots of events planned. So we're hoping that we'll continue to have a really great audience, which we've been very successful with the audience so far.
Okay, great. Yeah. And do you, how important do you feel that this type of work is for the community right now?
Well, I think that it was interesting to me that I think we are the only organization that I know of that responded in this way. And partly because, you know, places like Smack Mellon, other art organizations and museums that might have wanted to do something, plan their event, their exhibitions and events, you know, a year or 2 years in advance. And it's very difficult for an organization to suddenly switch gears and show something. So we were able to because we asked the artists who we had planned to show this month if they would postpone their exhibitions, and they agreed to do that. So that was, you know, we're really thankful to those artists, Erica Bailey and Michael Kukla, who postponed their exhibition so that we could make this happen. Did I answer your question? Sorry.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
And what kind of feedback have you or other members of the gallery received from the response series?
Well, from the artists who are in the show and the
artists,
people who have planned the events, they are really, really thankful that they have this opportunity to make a piece of art or show a piece of art that they had already made. But beyond that, to have this place to gather a community of people who really felt passionately about wanting to change our system and feel very passionately about wanting to change the system and need a place to keep that conversation going so that, you know, the protests are pretty much not happening now. It's sort of the movement seems a little bit like what happens next, but we have this place here where things are still happening. So if people want to come to the gallery, talk about what's going on, come to some of the events, you know, be with people who are like-minded and try to continue the conversation, you know, we're here, and that's why we did it. And we really would like for it to continue even beyond this exhibition. We would like other cities to do exhibitions like this and plan events. And we would like people to continue the conversation and continue to try to make a change so that it doesn't end on February 22nd when this exhibition closes. But we're trying, we're currently trying to promote this idea to other organizations around the country who will take on the idea, you know, what we exactly have done, but do similar thing in their own community with their own community of people.
Great. And do you see this series occurring again in the future, possibly?
The series? What do you mean?
At the Smack Mellon Gallery, this type of series in response to police brutality, in response
to
racial discrimination.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're not planning another exhibition like this. But I think that we are open to doing other things in response to other situations. Yeah. But we are not planning another kind of exhibition about police brutality. We're not planning another open call. But like I said, we would like it to move around the city. Around the country, mm-hmm. To other cities and to other communities, and for other organizations to do a similar thing that we did. So, not just traveling this exhibition, but creating a platform for their community to discuss these issues and to respond to issues in their own community or in our country.
Do you have any advice to any artists that may be listening to this platform that wish to address social justice concerns through their art but may not, for example, have a platform to share it or don't have a space or resources to share their work? Do you have any advice to those artists as to maybe how they could maybe develop a platform themselves to share work or create it within a community of other artists? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my first piece of advice to any artist is to just make the work. Make the work. Mm-hmm. And then, a lot of artists create their own places to exhibit. I mean, you know, throughout my career here as an artist and as an administrator of an arts organization, I've seen a lot of exhibitions that are not held in, a gallery or a museum. Like, you can do pop-up exhibitions and you can create your own community. And that's what artists really need to do. They create community, and they create community usually close to where they live or where their studios are. And that's why places like, you know, Bed-Stuy and Crown Heights and Bushwick are having a lot of art. You know, artists are doing pop-up exhibitions and, you know, within their communities there, whether it's performing or dance or visual arts or music. I think artists are good at that, and I encourage any artist to not just look for, like, the organization that has been here for 20 years or the commercial gallery or the museum, but create your own place to show work and build community that way. And then there are always open calls, like what we did. You need to sort of get on the radar, and to do that you might visit your local arts council, like the Brooklyn Arts Council's website. They always have open call kinds of things that they are promoting. Not that they're doing the open call, but they promote other organizations' open calls. And so you have to be very proactive if you want to get your work out there and find those places that you can apply to, make connections. But I would say even more than that is to make the things happen yourself with a community of other, you know, other artists.
Yes, thank you for that. Is there any additional information you'd like to share about artists in general sharing their work in response to social justice concerns, or any additional information about Respond?
Well, if you visit the Smack Mellon website, which is Smack, S-M-A-K, Mellon, MELLON.org, we have a whole list of events that are happening for the next 2 weeks, and I would encourage anybody who's interested in this issue to come to those events, as many as you can get to. And you'll meet a lot of other people, and things happen. That's how things happen, like meeting new people and then together making the next step, making the next event happen. So you don't have to wait for somebody else to do it. You can be proactive. So Smack Mellon would be a great place to start to make some of those connections over the next 2 weeks. You can see our whole list of events that are coming up. And just look at that and see which ones look interesting.
Great. I just pulled up the listing just to share with the audience. On February 14th, tomorrow, at 3 p.m., there's a workshop, Documents of Resistance 3, Tough Love. And on Saturday, February 21st, at 3 p.m., there's Moving Spirits to Enlightenment. And the closing reception happens Sunday, February 22nd at 4 p.m., I Can't Breathe. All of these in addition to the current exhibition that's showing there in the space. So thank you so much, Kathleen, for sharing information and time about the response to police brutality and the actual exhibit at the Respond exhibit at Smack Melon. And could you give us the address to the gallery?
The address of the gallery is 92 Plymouth Street. That's at the corner of Washington Street in Brooklyn, in Dumbo, Brooklyn. So it's right in front of the river. You can get here okay. by the F train, the AC, or the closest trains. But other trains are just a little bit of a further walk. Yep.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Okay. In addition, I would like to share a list of action plans and resources to our listening audience, as we always do during our broadcast. So, as always, there's Ferguson Action, and they're celebrating Black Future Month. Take action, and you can visit their website at fergusonaction.com. News One for Black America has a very interesting article online about five things you can do post-protest, one being learn and teach about law, know and learn about your local, state, and congressional lawmakers. They also state to get on juries and stay for the duration of the entire trial. Fight for people's rights to vote. In African-American communities, there is a disproportionate number of people convicted of crimes and misdemeanors, which takes away their ability to vote. And this goes hand-in-hand with the, I would say, in quotes, war on drugs, which targets the same community. Also, you can get involved in mentoring and teaching young people about their rights, laws, and systematic oppression. I Am Color of Change petitions also have several petitions online. The most recent I viewed was about Dontrell Hamilton, who was shot 14 times by a Milwaukee police officer. And so the petition is urging for city officials to look into the death of Dontrell. Upcoming events, as we just mentioned, there's many events at the Smack Melon Gallery within the next 2 weeks. Moving Spirits Incorporated will be performing on Saturday, February 21st, 3 p.m. The event has several artists, including Andre Zachary, Sidney Mosley, Jonathan Lasseter. I'm organizing as well as with Nia Austin Edwards. So if you would like more information about this event specifically, you can join us on the Moving Spirits of Color group page and ask for more information. You can email us at Moving Spirits Incorporated or movingspiritsinc@gmail.com or visit movingspirits.org. So we want to, again, give many thanks to Kathleen and the Smack Melon Gallery for producing and sharing this very informative, very much needed event for artists. Thank you to our listening audience. And once again, we will have our next show in mid-March. So please keep listening, ear out, and an eye out on Facebook for the dates and times for this show. Thank you. Peace.